from us, the Sweeney household, as well as Catalyst Church. Many of you have never met Monica face to face because she's kind of a, flower that kind of hides behind the scenes. She does her own thing. But I've asked her for years to be up here more, to share more. And she's just been like, oh, when the Lord speaks to my heart, you know, I'll call him this week. But a few months back, well, I don't know if it was that long, she just said, I really have some things and stick this in, let's stick this on the calendar. I'm just going to read a verse real quick. You know, everybody's looking for something witty and something attractional, something that turns this whole scenario in our nation around and our world around. And we've never been a church that's just turning over a calendar day changes everything, right? Just because it's a new year, you know, we were going to continue to do what we did yesterday, maybe we can make some changes, but we're going to keep doing what we need to do. It's for you to do. So today, this is our prayer for you. What Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, when I came to you, come of excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We're not about informative messages to just transfer information. We're about transformation in the Catholic Church. So today, our heart, as we share these things, we believe that there's some concepts, some things the Lord wants to master to our body, but we want to see lives transformed, just like we did last year, and just like we want to do moving forward. And we could sit up here all day and talk about the EGS Express Course and powerful stories of this past year, over and over how God showed up. And I don't know about you, we had a rough year, but we had an amazing year. We had so many cool things transpire that if we look at what God did, it completely overshadows anything that we've seen or discussed. So, good morning, Monica. Do you have anything to introduce? So, I feel like I just took that away with it. So we've laid out a few thoughts here. This is really more of a conversation that we feel from parents to children, and we'll explain that here in a minute what that means. But number one, I want to just talk a little bit about the abiding church concept that we have here at the Catalyst Church. That we've said for years, we want to be discipleship driven, we want to be transformative, vertically driven, discipleship, corporate gatherings, yes, but small group driven, getting people into those smaller settings. And a lot of that's happening, guys. We are seeing that all over the place. One thing I want to know is going back last year, the last message I preached in 2019, and then the first message I preached in 2020, I just encourage you guys to go back and listen to those podcasts. I cannot believe how prophetic some of those messages were. If you go back and listen to them, some of the things I talked about, if you don't like the word prophetic, it's okay, it's in the Bible, right? And some of the things that God spoke to us through those messages that literally happened, like things that, I mean, we would have never seen them coming, and yet God prepared our body. Then we got into that post series where we talked about Sabbath and slowing down, and God's calling us to slow down. Well, did he make us slow down this year? I don't know about you, but everything came to a roaring halt earlier this year, and so it's just neat to see. Why is my Siri talking so much? I don't ever use Siri. What is the deal? Listen, what is this?
I'm just watching the
in my own heart that says, so, one of the things we wanted to just express from our heart to yours is how we've watched I was just bragging about that the other day, how I'm great with my backpack here and all that stuff, and you're just humility. One of the things that we noticed this past year is directional leader, directional leader spouse, all the circles that we're in, is how through this year we've watched you guys serve one another so well. We've watched the body of Christ at Catalyst horizontally serving one another. And we just want to commend you and say thank you, because that's really the heart of God. And that's really, you can say you're a biblical community, but when everything hits the fan and things are going awry in people's lives, it's when everybody else is kind of staying away or running out. It's when you're running through that true biblical community and serving one another. You guys have taught us. We've learned from you guys of how to serve and how to love and how to be emotional and how to be transparent and how to be vulnerable in tough, tight situations. So we want to say thank you and a appreciation of how the body has lived this out. We want to thank you for the accountability within the body. We've seen such a unity in the body this year. We've seen a lot of people in our church that are no longer part of our church. That's been difficult. A lot of people that just disappeared. They just said, hey, didn't give us any kind of rhyme or reason. Other people that left because I believe God was calling them to something else, which is always a positive. We celebrate that. But we've seen others just kind of fall off, but we've seen our body holding one another accountable. No, I'm not going to let you fall off. I'm going to chase you down and say, look, what's really going on? If it's a bad thing, we bless you. We send you on your way. Go bless that other church. We're sending church. But if you're falling by the wayside, we want you guys to step up to the table. One of the things that I want to hand it off to Monica here, we were talking one day about all of the voices that got louder in 2020. There was a lot of voices that I just would have never expected to get so loud. And how the jury of public opinion became so loud this year. To where I don't care as a pastor, if you stood up and you said A, everybody else said B, or if you said B, you might have three people saying B, but the rest are saying A, and you could never do anything right. Half the people saying, you're going to make us wear masks, we're not coming to church. And I can't believe you're telling me, we cannot believe some of the immaturity we see in the body of Christ. Those loud voices that were just going, where is this coming from? But Monica called me down one day, we're having a conversation. So she talked about this Barnabas versus Jonah conversation. Matter of fact, I shared it with a ministry that I'm a part of, an international ministry that actually made a blog out of it and shared it internationally because it was such good wisdom. So I'm going to talk about the Barnabas and Jonah conversation.
Well, like
you
said,
it's
been a but it was extremely overwhelming. I consider myself a woman of many opinions. I have a lot of things to say, and I have some pretty strong stances, and I think that I'm right, and I want to be heard. And I just watched, and we just watched, and I was speechless, and I really, went to the Lord in prayer, and I said, God, what do I say? What do I do? And He said, you just let your words be with you, and then I speak some things to you. And He just really kind of showed me that there were just so many voices, there were so many big ones that how could I be effective? And He just kind of showed me the picture of like Paul and Barnabas when they walked together and they did life together, and it was very one on one. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't a place for a Jonah. Jonah was a who proclaimed God's word to the people. And I believe that there's a place for that. And so the Lord was trying to show me, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. That's really between them and God, whether they're right, whether they're wrong, or you're missing it, whatever. It doesn't matter. What am I calling you to? And He just really showed me, I want you to go, and I want you to come alongside people and listen to their prayer, because guys, I cannot tell you. There were so many people that reached out to me, so many people that talk to me about dealing with anxiety and depression, and they were scared. And you think that the virus is the plague. Mental illness has been plaguing us for so long. And this was really just bringing us into the focus. And the people that I talked to, it wasn't the virus that we were dealing with, it was this fear. And all these voices yelling and screaming at them, saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it was traumatic, that people yelling at you didn't help. So the Lord has really showed me that just go with a cup of coffee and some compassion. Because regardless of whether you agree with where they stand or not, they need compassion. And I'm convinced with compassion because that's what Jesus did.
Even to the point of, we've talked about this earlier, during COVID, my rights versus everybody else's rights. And one of the things he said to me was present. I thought so much, Jesus, with love and grace, said, if wearing a mask gets me across the table with somebody that I can show compassion and not wearing a mask, is it to wear a mask? I will do whatever it takes to be in that person's world to show the love of Christ. I'm going to put down my rights and my legalities and all my demanding things that I can say are of me, and I'm going to set them aside for that person's sake. And I've been thinking about, you know, when I get to heaven, I just don't think Jesus is going to ask me about telling his church as much as he's going to ask me, did you learn to love me? It wasn't about some history. It wasn't about all the good that you did. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to embrace my love and then share that with others? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Those are those two. Knowing Christ makes you know him. And whatever that looks like. And then like you talked about, you know, as a parent, children in different seasons of their lives. And she just brought this great analogy of people need different things in different seasons. Would you kind of share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, if you're a parent and then you know having a newborn for the first time and a lot, probably a parent is learning what does Christ mean. I think at first, the first thought, we just get down on milk. And we're like, it's what worked. But as you grow in your parenting, you learn that that's not always the best answer. And sometimes it's actually can be detrimental. It can make their bodies hurt. Or they learn that no matter what's wrong, let's just eat. So you learn to discern your cries and what they mean. You get to know your child, and you're like, oh, that cry means that, that your temper changed, or that cry means that you're showing your heart for it, and you forgot to take the pins out of it, and you distract you.
Never happens.
So you learn, a cry of distress, or a cry of anger, or a cry of being hungry, and it's not that different with people as they grow, but even with your kids, you want to switch it in. Okay, what are you feeling? Are you hungry? Do you need to eat something? Are you tired? Have you not been getting enough sleep? Is this something that's actually warranted a fix? So you do the same thing with people, and you don't want to just. But that's my point in saying that is I'm not just. Throw verses at people and say, have enough faith, or, get in line and obey the law. I'm not going to do that. I want to sit down with people. I want to know what's hurting you. Why are you crying? Your kids don't just throw a fit for the sake of throwing a fit most of the time. There's usually something behind that. And I look at the world and everybody's just throwing a fit. People are scared, guys. They're scared, and this is our time.
Yes, the church is coming.
If we are the light of the world, yeah. The salt of the earth, then we are the ones who should be running into the darkness. Yeah. We should be running in with compassion. Of course we're scared. We don't have the hope that we have. If we truly have the hope, then we should be able to move forth with compassion. And if you can't do that, ask yourself why.
Yeah. That's a great reflective question for each one of us today. Why couldn't I run in? I think some people say, well, I post good messages on social media. That's fine. Keep doing that. But what we're talking about is the Abiding Church concept. When you literally know the cry of people, you know the pain, you know what's going on because you're in their world. You're in discipleship, you're in fellowship, you're in a journey group, you're somewhere with them, close enough to where they discern what's going on in your life and you discern what's going on in their life. And that's one of the things that we've noticed working with Catalyst, other churches, and influencers, and large groups, is in the season, people are realizing how much they went to church, but how disconnected they really were from the body of Christ. That's not our heart for Catalyst. So we are looking at what does that look like moving forward. We've done a phenomenal job, in my opinion. And again, we've been blown away by the ETFs of the people that have been in community and connection. But there's so much more. There's so many more people that are hurting and lost. The Galatians 6:1 says this, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. Everybody said any. Any trespass. Well, I know they voted politically different than any trespass, right? I know how they feel about the mask mandate that I don't like. Any trespass. Well, they're in deep, dark sin. Any trespass. You who are spiritual, see, that's the key. Are you the spiritually mature one? Are you the one that's further along so you think you are? Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't do that from a distance. You can't really do that. And social media is a great way to get that conversation started, but you can't, administer the oil and the wine, as the scripture says, the medicinal things from a distance. You can't do it necessarily from a pulpit. It has to be done across tables and in circles. And opening yourself up to that as well as allowing others into your world. Does that make sense? Right, number two, spiritual parents. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor and birth again until Christ is formed in me. We want to talk a little bit about that. I think this is something many months ago, we just both kinds of started having some different conversations about our personal life and realizing there's a lot of people that are a few years behind us in life that have been reaching out to us, young families asking us about, hey, do you think we should have a faith kid? Hey, how is this parenting thing going? And we're starting to realize we are literally, we've barely got our head above water with our parenting, and you're asking us. And then other leaders, spiritual leaders, consistently reaching out and saying, people that are older than us in age, but younger than us in the Lord, asking spiritual questions, and the Lord just begins to cultivate this spiritual parenting conversation with us that we've always felt like, man, anybody could do what we do. The Lord's saying, you're called to be a mom and a dad at Catalyst Church. And so I don't know if this sounds weird to you, but I'm going to give you enough scripture that it doesn't. But don't start calling me pop or dad or anything like that. That just gets a little weird and creepy. But God has put us, positioned us here for 13 years, or we 14 years, somewhere in there. He's positioned us at this church, and there's a depth, and there's a longevity, and we've raised some of you in the spirit realm, right? We've raised you up, and so we're going to take a more prominent role in moving forward. What does that look like? I don't know exactly what that looks like, but the first place is owning it. Paul said, I labored like somebody in birth till Christ was formed in me. That, to me, is one of the best pictures of discipleship. It's not a sermon that I can preach and you go now and make it happen. It's labor. It's work. It's investment. It's offending one another and finding healing through that. It's disagreeing and finding growth through that. 1 Corinthians 4:14 says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many followers. There is a fatherless issue in the world today. I am a direct fruit of that. Many of you, I've heard your stories. Even if you've got the dad in the home, sometimes the dad's not really there. He's not leading spiritually. He's not leading emotionally. You could have 10,000 people that you learn from, but you have few fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I've begotten you through the gospel. Paul says, I'm stepping into this role. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending Timothy to you, with my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church. Again, Paul was raising up spiritual sons and daughters and sending them out. Again, going back to the Barnabas conversation, remember Barnabas versus Jonah? Do you remember Saul's story to Paul? Remember that whole story? He's supposed to be in the church. He's doing everything he's supposed to do as a true person. He has a conversion Christ visits him. He has a complete 180. And he says, everything's great. I'm going to preach the gospel. But what happened was nobody believed him. Even though he had 180, the apostles wanted nothing to do with him. They thought it was just all a trick so that he could go arrest more people and have them murdered. And what happened? Here's this man called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas came in when others were running out, and he said, Paul, I see what God's done in you. God's given me this gift. And Barnabas used his influence and brought Paul into the bigger assembly and proved to these people, look at what God is doing in his life. Eventually, Paul took off and his ministry. Blue Barnabas is, if you're comparing, Blue Barnabas is out of the water. But in my opinion, there would not have been Paul the Apostle the way that we see it without Barnabas the encourager. Barnabas, the guy that sat across the table. Paul became Paul, the proclaimer, the bullhorn, the one that went because of the Barnabas. So if you're a Barnabas, be a Barnabas, but don't negate the Pauls. If you're a Paul, be a Paul, but don't negate the Barnabas. Play your role, which again, that's about abiding in Christ. Where has God called you? We'll read that last verse. 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12.
You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
So, again, just a few places in Scripture and New Testament that talk about this idea of spiritual leading from the parent side. It doesn't mean putting someone in a lesser place or you're uncalling your child or nobody's saying your child is. What we're saying is there's different roles that it's taken us. So, I would say meeting, but it's taking us a long time to get to this place. And so, moving forward, we're stepping into this role. What does that look like? I don't know the fullness of it, but God does, and God knows what his body needs. And he's, for some reason, searching these two right here to help redirectionally, and you can either love it or not, but that's where we are. And we have a confidence that just hasn't been there in the past. We have a boldness. We have a more of a mandate that is catalyst-driven, that is body-central-driven than we ever have. And we look around, and matter of fact, we were talking a while back at all of the leaders that have been raised up at Catalyst. And remember early last year, I was talking about, this is before COVID, right? But I remember saying, it's going to be so cool to watch the teaching leaders in this church that God's going to begin to tap you on the shoulder and raise you up and do things that you haven't done before. Well, what happened during COVID? All these leaders started saying, okay, we're not meeting corporately, we're not doing this. I feel like I'm supposed to. Started leading small groups and Bible studies and journey groups, and leaders that had never led in those ways began to lead because they'd been trained, because they'd been discipled, because they had been parented all these years. They were ready when God tapped them on the shoulder. That's a beautiful season that we're in. But one thing we talk about around our house a lot that changed everything for us, we used to parent our kids' behaviors, and that never worked. We learn to parent, not the behavior, but to parent the heart. When you parent the heart, the behaviors will line up. And so we commit to you, which we've done this all these years, this is the body church concept. We're not trying to outwardly align you guys or the body to certain behaviors. Our pattern is not what we write on the wall as our pattern. The pattern is Christ and then what Christ gives us, right? And so as we walk through these next seasons together, we're parenting the heart of the individual. I want to parent your heart. He wants to parent your heart. We want to just give that to God. That's that discipleship, that transformation versus confirmation. Because we can all understand where there's more rules, there's more, typically more rebellion, right? The more rules you put in place, the more you box kids in, it's typically more rebellion. But when there's relationship, you know, the James Dobson famous thing, rules without relationship equals rebellion. So when you have relationship, yes, we need rules, but it's not behavior modification. Because as we can all tell, we said this for years at Catalyst, the fruit will tell, is that person really sincere? We don't know. We don't know what their behaviors look good, but we don't know their heart, so we're going to go after the heart. We're going to go after the transformation. And Mark has a great analogy. I don't know if you want to say the plant analogy.
Sure. Even I did in someone for Christmas, and it's called From Root to Bloom. And it's a kind of book that talked about just all the different ways that you can use, you know, plants and nature and how God's provided those things from root to bloom. And we've said that we're witnessing people. One of the things that I notice about Jesus when I read the Gospels and I really study his life is that Jesus didn't always follow the rules. So often he knelt down and he got into the dirt with people, or he stopped what he was doing when he was on his way somewhere. He would stop and he would address it with you, and he would call out root issues, like even with the story with the woman at the well. You know, he went right to the heart. And this thing that I'm telling this book to is working closely with our family to stay as healthy with one of our kids. And so we think it would be this or that. And she said, well, maybe. So that I really like to work backwards and, you know, kind of get to the root of what's going on. That just still translates into spiritual for me. I'm not great with plants. I'm getting better. I have some of that July for a couple of years. I feel like I'm taking my kids a while. That's pretty good. I have started to kind of get into plants. And, you know, I've noticed I have a plant and it's doing great. It's been doing great for months. And I come downstairs one day and this is a plant. And so I talk to, like, my mom. She's really, really great with plants. And she's like, maybe it's this, maybe it's root rot or something like that. Sure. And I didn't even know that was a thing. It was awful. But it's really important that we look at the roots, that you take care of the roots of your plants. And sometimes a plant could look like it's thriving, but underneath there's all kinds of stuff going on. And before you know it, it comes dead. Or a plant could look like it's dead. And it's going to come back and it's going to be better than ever. But if we only look at the bloom, how many plants do we write off because we think that they're dead? Or how many plants do we think are wonderful and great because they're blooming and they're wonderful and they're doing all the right things? People are the same way. You know, people are hurting at their core, but they're not feeling it. Are we facilitating an environment that allows people to show their roots and allows, you know, people to allow for us to get close enough for people to say, yeah, I'm hurting, I have a root rot. That sounds terrible.
Okay, this brings up the root. So, in addition to what she said, it could be that you've come out of a season of pruning. If you've ever seen a truly pruned plant, it looks like you. What happened there? 10 minutes ago, it was this big, and now it's this big. But a good gardener or a good vine dresser, as John 15 tells us, knows what the plant needs. And for me personally, I think if certain people could get inside my world right now, personally, they might say, Nate's not at his best. What in the world is happening? But I remember earlier this year, the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, I'm going to pull some things out of your life this year. And it's going to be like nothing I've ever done, and it's going to take you to your core. I had a vision of myself in a desert, and it was just red dirt all around, and just scorching sun, and I was there, and I was a skeleton, and it's all I was. And it was a picture of what God was going to do in my life, and I thought, I'm ready for this, Lord, and then before through, I'm like, what in the world, if I could say that word, are you doing, Lord? Like, I have cried out and said, what am I missing? And he's just reminding me, I told you I was going to pray. I told you it was going to be intimate. I told you it was going to be vulnerable. But I'll tell you what, I don't know how far I am on that, but people looking from the outside in can say, man, what is going on with me? God's doing some cultivating in this. It's actually more healthy. But if you judge by the outside, let's not judge. Jesus said with man or God, and first thing he said, the man looks at the outward appearance, but he, God, looks at the heart. And so as a church leadership, we want to create and cultivate space for this abiding church concept that we've talked about all these years, through discipleship, through small groups, through Greek studies, through step studies, whatever the platform is that we use, we want to invite you into what does it look like in your life to get vulnerable, to be in community, to be emotional with people, to show the scars, to receive somebody else and their scars and not run out the door. It's been being terrified, right? Finding someone with root rot and saying, whoa, my goodness. And usually when you start peeling back, there's a lot more there than being on the surface. This is the body of Christ, so we are committing to this body. what God is committed to us to be there, to not leave or forsake, but to stay constant in every season with you guys. I believe if people looked at Catalyst Church, you could maybe say, wait a minute, the numbers are down, things look. I feel like we've got some other team that we've been in, and some staff recently. We feel like we are so healthy. Like, I mean, I'm looking at Margo right there, and I'm getting her back there, and I mean, Jessica, some of the conversations we've had recently, we're just thrilled. This person's doing this, and that this person's doing that, and this person was extremely vulnerable here where they had it, though. This person just finished the journey. I was not thinking they would finish that journey. Like, all the things that are happening, but that's because we're in life. We want to invite you guys into doing life. It's different than some of you maybe have experienced, but we commit to you. So, real quick, I want to read, it's this third point, it's called Number Our Days. And this is something the Lord really has taught me over the years, but man, it really stood out a few months back. I'm going to read this and then pull out a few points and then we'll move on. It's a crazy verse, so I'm going to read it kind of quick, but listen to what's happening. This is written by Moses. So Moses writes this, and he begins to talk about God and God's way of doing things. And then he talks about man and how we're basically nothing, and then talks about what God requires. So, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even wherever you have formed the earth in the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he's putting God in this rightful place. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of man. For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up, in the morning it flourishes and grows up, in the evening it is cut down and withers. So that's basically saying, God, you're from everlasting to everlasting. Humanity, they're here and gone. Their life is short as a breath compared to God. Goes on to say, for we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So he's saying, look, even if you have 70 birthdays, 70 Christmases, 70, turns of a calendar, it says nothing. It's all labor, it's toil. Solomon talked about this. James talked about this. This is the plight of man, that we think the world revolves around us, and we think that we're going to live forever. I remember as a teenager thinking, the older people, and they're talking about it, they're just looking at me like, oh, we're going to be your kid. I'm going, whatever. Now I'm the one going, I can't believe you're 15 today, Julian. Like, I just, because you see how quickly it comes and goes, and it says, we live it and labor and toil. That's not very good deep, is it? But let's keep reading. So, what's the answer? Every time that God presents these types of scenarios in Scripture, he always gives description and answer. He says, so teach us to number our days, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you've afflicted us, the years in which we've seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of our Lord, our God, be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The redemptive peace is that when we learn, as believers in Jesus Christ, to number our days, that Greek word there can mean, actually, it means budget. Budget our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So that we can say, Lord, the eternal God, what is your perspective on January 3rd, 2021? When I get up today, what is your perspective so that when I lay my head on the pillow tonight, what can I look back in my journal and say, how have I numbered my days? How did I budget today, Lord God, for your glory, for your kingdom, for your purpose? It takes intentionality. It takes removing all of those loud voices. It takes fortitude. It takes discipline. There's a lot in that. It takes sacrifice. You have to let something down to do those things. But that's the call. If you want to get to the end of your life and look back and say, man, I just don't know what I have to show for it, that's one thing. If you want to get to the end of your life and say, I handed this off to my children. I love what it says. Satisfy us early with your mercy. What that means is show us early on in life. It might have taken me 20 years to get it, but what if my kid gets it when he's 10 years old and he can walk that out for many more years? Many people don't find Christ till later in life. What if I can get this today? I don't care where you are, how old you are, what season you're in. There are children in your life, spiritual children, natural children. There are people that God surrounded you with that you can help them understand these principles, to number their days, to gain a heart of wisdom. What is the big picture? We're going to have to get past some of our American Christianity. We're going to have to get past some of these issues that we find so near and dear to our heart. Some of them are God issues, and I think we need to as a fruit of what we do, we need to labor in those areas. But other things, we have to set those aside and say, look, what is your bigger picture? Not just for my nation, but for the world. Because I see a God that at the end of days is not going to be a bunch of Americans in here. That's really what a lot of Christians are saying today. America, number one, America. It's the world. Every people, language, tribe, tongue, nation will be represented. Every ethnicity. Every people group. So what has God given me in my walk with Him today to number my days? I think the last piece of that is, how do I teach them to the next generation? If I gain them, how do I teach them? If I don't gain them, what am I teaching the next generation? What are my kids picking up? What are they learning? If I haven't learned these things, then what are they learning? They're probably picking up other worldviews that the school's teaching them. They're probably picking up, I'm going to talk about this in my series later this year, apologia, but I pulled out some, the other day. And it caught my attention because this guy literally said, you're drinking our milk, and this is who we are, and this is what we want you to know about us, because we would love to see you basically be this way. They talked about his worldview. It was religious. I was like, oh my gosh, they're putting it on. I couldn't even drink a glass of oat milk, which I didn't. I couldn't even do oat milk without this Christian worldview. We're getting it everywhere. So again, if we're not teaching and remembering all those churches, bringing a heart of wisdom ourselves, how are they getting it? Oh, so you church, we go to the bed for 40 hours a year with your kids, nothing up to put students in the next generation. And so I don't care where you are in your life, you can make a change right now. I remember the story of the lady when I was in Bible school. I think she was 83 when she came to Bible school. She went to Bible school, graduated, she was 10 years after that, she passed away, but she actually, after Bible school, went to the mission field, led thousands of people to the Lord. I don't care what age you are. What is God giving to you? Ephesians 4 says this. This is really the picture that we wanted you to take away today for the body of Christ at Calvary. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You. Put yourself in that. I'm going to walk worthy of the calling to which I was called. If you're very evangelistic and you're in your neighborhood and God's called you to be that, and somebody else is not, it's not your job to horizontally compare and to judge them for what they're doing or not doing. It's your job to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. If you're a bullhorn and somebody else isn't, why aren't you sharing this on social media? Maybe they're a bonus. And then it says, do it with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Again, did you learn from that? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I always point this out. You notice how that S there is a capital S? You notice how it doesn't say spirit of unity? A spirit of unity can be a political party. It can be, we're going to change the carpet, and everybody gets behind the color of the carpet. Or we get behind the common good. A unity of the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. Everybody in the room is filled with the Spirit, and we're unified, not because of our color or race or background or nationality or even our likes or dislikes or our callings. We're unified by the Spirit because there's one body, one Spirit. Let's just keep reading. In the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Isn't that powerful? If I simply do my part, Monica simply does her part, each one of us in this body does our part, the body will be edified, God will be lifted up, Christ will be glorified. So, we're going to now, did you have any thoughts around that before?
talking about the oat milk. Not bad, you guys should try it. One of the ways of kind of teaching, like we talked about abiding, obviously, all the time, in my heart is walking that out practically, because let's be real, these attributes that we're talking about, they don't mean anything if you can't walk them out practically, if they can't be applied to life. And so one of the ways that we do that, and I just really wanted to circle back because it's important, abiding in our family looks like later that night, and he talks about the oat milk with our kids. And he says, look at these people. They get it. They understand. They have a platform, and they're using their platform to get their message across. Believers should be doing the same thing. You know, if you have a gift, whether it's oat milk or a business or a gift that God's given you, a talent, you have a platform. What do you want to say? How are you going to use your platform? Is it going to be to, you know, to put earthly agendas that they're going to burn up, they're worthy in stubble? Or are you going to push, you know, the gospel? Are you going to push an eternal agenda? And that's what the body looks like in our house, is taking that simple example and saying, look, kids, what are you going to do with the message that you have?
But it's really important, and I've said it over and over, how do you want to live this season of your life? Have you memorized more TV shows and more media? And how do you want to live this season? Do you want to leave this season that you've been in tune with Christ and you've grown in the things of God? Your family's gotten closer, which again, to me, that's a huge one, because that's that first place every time God's given you as a family. Those are those questions. So we're going to now take one of the most community-driven things we can do, and that's called communion. And so if you grab your cups there, peel the top layer off first, otherwise you'll have hard things in the bottom layer off, and then you'll get the some form of bread, whatever this is. If you know it's unleavened, I did it for you this week. And then when we're ready, we'll peel off the second one, that's the juice. And then we're going to pray a blessing over you guys and sing a song of blessing on the way out. Matter of fact, I tell you what, we have masks on, okay, right? And so here's what I'm going to do at the end of this. We're going to follow every guideline that they've given to us, but I'm going to ask our elders to come forward and pastors, if you want, if you're available, at the end of this, and just spread out as far as you can spread out. If at the end of the service, if you've got a need in your life that you want God to partner with one of these in prayer, I want you to come up and keep to this up here. Of course, I'm going to ask them, they say, now you can be 6 feet. I always know it's confusing too, but I'm pulling a directional leader father thing right here, okay? So go with me. If you're online and you're watching, office of Catalyst and Indiana, come, reach out, and we will have somebody reach out back, and we want to pray with you because there is power in prayer. And one of the things that I prepared for today, I just can't get over, I believe God is going to pour out an anointing in this body this year in the form of prayer and intercession and manifestations of the Spirit. And we are going to see things in people's lives broken and everything added and things just God glorified in so many ways. And we are going to honor the CDC and the government, but we're going to do church how we feel led to do church. And so again, please, if you just say, I just need a touch from God, or I need someone to partner with me, as we sing the last song, if our elders and leaders would come up, you can come up, keep your distance. If you have to yell in prayer, do that, that's fine. But we want to go vertical as we close this thing out, amen? All right, worship, you guys, I'm going to do a communion, and then we'll sign off here. If you would, let's all stand together. It'll be a few minutes here, we're going to be standing. If you need to sit, that's fine. This is the bread representation. The scripture tells us that Jesus took this and said, represents my body. And when you partake of this, as often as you do it, he says, do it in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me, my broken body. Remembrance of the gift that I'm giving to you. Remembrance of the fact that God's wrath should have been consumed in me and for eternity, but he consumed that for me. Jesus took that on the cross. And that's what the blood represents. So let's participate. Let's take the bread and honor God in communion. likewise, he tested her on the altar drink. He said, this is my blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins. That blood is still as powerful as it ever has been. And so, Lord, we thank you for the body. We thank you for the blood. We thank you, Lord God, for sitting here. Scripture says we can repent right now and that you'll forgive us. You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe there are people in here that it's a new year. It's a new look. It's maybe they're recognizing that there's some things they didn't do as well. Lord, there is no condemnation. I declare over you today, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation comes from the devil. Conviction comes from God. If you're feeling convicted this morning, that's the Lord saying there are some changes, there is some accountability, there are some things in your life that I'm drawing you onto. There are some things, maybe he's asking you to step out in faith. Maybe you've been so driven by fear that you have been so disconnected. But he's asking you, part of your getting free of fear is to get back into community, to get back around the people, to get around the koinonia of the body of Christ, those that God has placed in your life in a covenant group, a journey group, a small group setting. So Lord, we thank you that there is refreshing in this place, redemption. Peter said it this way to the early church early on. He said, repent and be converted so that the times of refreshing from the Holy Spirit can come. Guys, I believe that in the name of Jesus, I've thought this, I've sensed it, I've prayed it for weeks. I believe this year for us, no matter what happens outside, there is a refreshing of the Spirit of God that's coming to cattle his church. If you're in the body, if you're a part of the body, I can't speak for the bigger body. I just know what God's showing me about our church. That can mean a thousand different things, but I believe it's going to mean that we're going to be refreshed by the presence of God. There's going to be tangible evidence of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And some of it's going to be a little awkward. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little something maybe we haven't experienced before or for a while. But it will be biblical. And it will be from God. It will be for us. He gave us the promise of the Spirit. And he said he will be your counselor, your comforter, your advocate, your standby, your strengthener. He said he would be your helper. He said he would give you fruit. He said he would give you gifts. Holy Spirit, we welcome your reign in this place in the name of Jesus. Bring refreshing. Bring refreshing. Bring the power that comes with conviction and repentance and restoration. Bring the power that comes with joy, and it comes with peace, and it comes with not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and the soundness of mind. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our body in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Let's take the cup together. Hallelujah. So, we're going to send this phone on the way out. I'm going to set it up for us. But also, tomorrow night on our seat, if you're on our Facebook or our website, we have just a night of prayer. We do it every month. But we are going to be in prayer tomorrow night. If you have prayer requests, you can join us then as well. But it's a time where we're just seeking the face of the Lord. So, how we want to end this out, I don't know if you've heard this song. It's been around. As a matter of fact, I believe it was a song that God gave the body of Christ just for 2020. Back in March, I heard this song the first week it came out, and I'm not a big coming edge guy. I get it when everybody else gets it somewhere down the road, but it's the song The Blessing by Terry Job. And again, if you've never seen the original, the first time they released it at Elevation Church, it's one of the most powerful. Just go watch it, it's powerful. But today, where that's based on is number 622. As mother and father of the house, as spiritual leaders here, we're going to declare this over you. We're going to pronounce the blessing with the scripture behind it, and then we're going to sing it. I want you to sing it to the Lord. I want you to receive this blessing. If you're not an analyst, that's fine, but at least get your hands out. So I'm receiving the blessing of the Lord. And he said, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way that you bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So as I read these lyrics, just receive them from the Lord, and then let's sing them out together. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then we respond as a body, and the song will sing, Amen. Amen means so be it. I put my approval on that. I receive it. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations in your family and your children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family, your children, their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. Some of you need to hear today that he is with you. In the darkness and the valley and the dark places, he is still with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's not even turned away. As a matter of fact, he might have been the one that leads you there. But he said, in the midst of the valley, the dark place, I am there. My presence, he said in Psalm 139, you cannot go anywhere away from my presence. In the darkest places, even in hell, he said, you cannot escape me. You cannot escape me. And then he said, in the morning and the evening, when you're coming and you're going, and you're weeping and you're rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for us, church. He is for us. And so as we sing this, just declare it out as loud as you can. I'm going to stay up here because I'm going to worship up here. You can get out and stand here. You may have to turn me down, Dave, because I'm not turning it off, but I'm going to sing with everybody. So let's do this.